This is Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller. And today I'm with Mike Saxby, who's the vice president at VMOX. Mike, thank you for joining me today.
Doug, thanks for having me. I appreciate the invitation and looking forward to the conversation.
Well, we're going to be talking about a really interesting topic today. We're going to be talking about corporate mobility. And I think that's something that not only impacts a lot of our readers wherever they are in the UC field, but it's also probably a topic in motion. So we're going to be getting into that in just a minute. But first, Mike, what is VMOX?
Doug, VMOX is a managed mobility service provider. So we provide managed services to mid-market to enterprise customers around their corporate-owned or corporate-liable mobile environment. Scope is relatively broad, but if you were to summarize it, it would be expense management services, and then lifecycle management services. And inside of lifecycle management, we're doing things like performing all the day-to-day activities, those moves, adds, changes, and disconnects. We're providing help desk services, and we also provide logistics services. So housing physical inventory, staging and kitting devices, pick, packing, and shipping them, and then collecting them to also on the back end, the what you would call quote-unquote reverse logistics. So a full mobility managed service platform and program.
So you're in a great spot to basically not only serve the needs of corporate customers with their mobility needs, but also to observe what's happening in the corporate mobility market.
Absolutely. We live and breathe corporate mobility all day long, all the time, and you know, manage hundreds of customers that you know, range anywhere from, you know, let's just say 100 to 200 devices up to, you know, especially as we get into the IoT and machine-to-machine space, you know, we have some customers that have hundreds of thousands of devices. So have a very broad perspective from smaller businesses all the way up to very large enterprise.
So what are some of the shifts you've been seeing in corporate mobility over the last year?
Yeah, we've really seen growth in corporate liable devices. You know, obviously COVID, when it happened, none of us really knew what the outcome was going to be. But as people went to work remote, to work from home, now in the what would be the new sort of hybrid work environment, we've just seen an explosion of corporate liable devices within the environment. And we don't believe that hybrid work is going to change anytime soon. One of the real interesting things that we saw during the last year, when people started to work remotely and work from home, we didn't know what was going to happen with usage. That was one of the sort of more interesting things that we sort of studied. And it was interesting, as people work from home, the usage on their device, even though there were more devices, usage, very specifically data usage, actually decreased. People weren't out in the field. So they were still using these devices and they were using them more, but because they were connected to their home network, et cetera, data usage actually decreased. But now as people are getting more back into that hybrid, we're seeing data usage start to increase back up. And of course, things like 5G are going to dramatically change the ability for somebody to consume data. Some of the other things that we saw last year in terms of shifts was we're seeing a very significant emphasis on security and mobile device management. Platforms like Microsoft Intune are really starting to sort of dominate the mobile device management, you know, let's just call it environment. And in that, we're seeing most organizations having a very heavy focus on security, which probably isn't surprising. I mean, you turn on the news and you hear about a breach or a hack, you know, pretty much almost every day, especially in large organizations. And then last, I'd say the other trend that we saw was a lot of focus around workflow automation. So looking at these mid-market and enterprise customers and going, where are their day-to-day tasks that are being performed that are swivel chair and rekeying, et cetera, and how can organizations automate workflows? So, you know, this is happening, I think, a lot with the rise of ITSM or, you know, IT service management platforms like ServiceNow, and being able to take platforms like that and connect them with other systems. So being able to say, connect them with a Verizon system to automate a move or an add or a change or a disconnect, seeing a lot of demand for that sort of workflow automation to improve processes within an IT department.
So what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that enterprises are making when they're managing their corporate mobility program?
You know, we see a handful. One of the biggest ones that we're seeing right now is the broad-based use of unlimited plans. Obviously, unlimited plans are valuable. They're a great tool to have sort of in the tool chest when managing a corporate liable environment. But there's also a lot of what I would call creative marketing around unlimited plans. And we see a lot of organizations go, you know, the easiest thing to do is the carrier's pushing to us a lower cost unlimited plan. Let's just blanket our accounts with this unlimited plan. What's interesting about that approach is it totally makes sense from an ease of use and from a management perspective, right? If you don't have a third party company like Vemox managing it, I can understand, hey, it's easy and it kind of fixed the cost, right? We understand that every line is basically going to pay this much and have this unlimited plan. The challenge with that approach is that an unlimited plan typically is only useful for about 10% of the environment. So if you have, let's say, 1,000 lines of service in a corporate environment, only about 100 of them should be on an unlimited plan. I think about it, Doug, almost like an all-you-can-eat buffet. If you took 1,000 employees to an all-you-can-eat buffet, only about 100 of them are going to eat enough food for it to make sense. The other 900 would be better if you ordered just a la carte. You'd actually spend less buying lunch for the 1,000 employee team if you did a la carte. Wireless is really kind of the same. So, you know, the carriers still have and still provide tier-based data plans. I'll give a for example, a 1 gigabyte data plan. 1 gigabyte data plan is always going to cost less than an unlimited plan. And so one of the things that we see is this broad-based use actually creates of unlimited plans, creates higher cost within an organization. Having a service that can look at all the different options and manage against them is really what we consider to be a best practice and strategy. So like I said, unlimited plans are great, but the lines that should be on them will vary each and every bill cycle. So it's a tool that you have to use. But then there's also other options to drive more efficiencies and lower costs within a corporate environment. So that's one. Should we talk about some of the others, Doug?
Sure, absolutely.
Awesome. Some of the other things that we see in terms of, you know, let's just call it challenges or mistakes, is really around security. As I mentioned sort of at the beginning of the call, this has become sort of a hot topic and a hot button. One of the things that we're seeing in an organization is that many companies don't always have the best systems to track and manage all of the devices. So let's go back to that company that has 1,000 devices. Ensuring that they know each and every line of service of those 1,000 devices that are active and making sure that they know exactly who it's assigned to, right? That line is assigned to Doug Green. Doug Green rolls up to this manager. That manager rolls up to this division or this branch, right? So having that proper assignment is really important, but then also ensuring that those lines of service that are active are also actively enrolled in their mobile device management or security platform like Microsoft Intune. So one of the things that we're seeing in organizations today is not only ensuring that they have, you know, proper associations, but call it the compliance side of things of going, hey, we have 1,000 devices. How do we ensure that all 1,000 of those devices are actively enrolled in our mobile device management platform? And that's one of the things out there that we're starting to see a high demand for because organizations want to ensure that every device that's out there, you know, honestly, whether it's a corporately owned mobile device or any other device, has proper security and is protected and is enrolled in those platforms. And then I think adding on to that, because it really, you know, you kind of take that security side and kind of combine it a little bit with the inventory management. One of the pain points that we've heard from a lot of the customers that we've been talking to is really around the collection, so to speak, and reuse of, call it devices in their environment. So, you know, Doug, imagine that you work for a company, you have an iPhone, you have a corporate liable environment, you know, it's a corporate environment where they've given you this iPhone, you decide to leave the company. A lot of organizations, their standard process is, Doug, when you leave the company, you go to your managers, you give them the phone, and maybe the manager puts it in their desk drawer, maybe they hand it back to IT, but let's say they just put it in the desk drawer, they hire a new employee, they might give Doug your device out to another employee. In doing so, it could have personally identifiable information or PII on it. Who knows what you've stored in contacts or notes? You know, maybe you've stored even a credit card number. It could have photos of your family, right? There's a variety of different things that device could have. And so we're seeing a lot of demand for organizations going, not only do we want to manage that inventory, but when that employee leaves, we want to send that device, you know, off to you, VMOX. We want you to properly data wipe the device, sort of data clean the device, you know, ensure that that device has all of that PII and all of that employee data completely removed. And then maybe if the device is of good enough quality, you put it back into inventory for reuse, so where it can get assigned out. Or in the case where you grade the device and it's not of good quality, you send it out for proper recycling, and there's some monetary benefit to doing that too for organizations. So I'd say, you know, one of the other things, you know, that we're seeing, I'll combine them together, is not only the security aspect, but the, you know, inventory and asset and how organizations are managing the life cycle of the inventory and assets that they have.
So what are you recommending to your clients?
You know, we recommend to our clients to really sit back and kind of take a holistic view, right? So you have a corporate-owned environment. What are all of the systems, platforms, and processes that engage with that? And in that, how can you become more efficient and how can you automate processes? So, you know, Doug, one of the biggest things that we're seeing and that we're recommending to organization is to look at, you know, what we really call our sort of system integrations, right? So we're going into companies that say have a ticket management platform or an ITSM platform like ServiceNow. And those organizations are swivel chairing those tickets that are coming into ServiceNow and hitting the help desk. They're swivel chairing them over to the carrier, right, to Verizon and AT&T. And it's this very manual process, heavy swivel chair. A lot of what we're recommending to customers is going, we live in an age where you don't need a swivel chair anymore. You can use a system and a service like VMOX to connect all of those through APIs, and you can truly get into automation of processes. So a lot of what we're recommending is, you know, really digitizing workflows. So going into that IT department and saying, what are all the systems? What are all the processes? And how can we automate those processes? How can we digitize those workflows? That's a lot of what we're recommending to organizations today.
So how are you queuing up those recommendations with the services and products that you offer your clients?
You know, we really queue those up, honestly, Doug, through our distribution channel. So one of the things about VMOX is that, you know, we distribute through, you know, we call it channel partners, right? We have a agent program. We have a, you know, call it white label rebill or resell program. And that is our go-to-market strategy currently, is to go through channel. So we leverage a very broad-based channel and distribution network. And our channel partners are the ones that obviously introduce us to those customers that have those needs. And so, you know, that's how we sit down and identify an opportunity and really have that, you know, sort of, you know, one-on-one conversation with all of the stakeholders in IT, sometimes also in finance, obviously for some organizations, procurement as well, to go, let's talk about your mobile environment. Let's talk about your processes. Let's talk about the systems that you use. Talk about your pain points and challenges. And for a lot of organizations, even more important, what are your future state goals? You know, one of the more interesting conversations we like to have with our customers is, you know, where do you want to be with the management of your corporate devices 6 months or a year from now? And interestingly enough, as we've talked about previously in the security side, when we sit and talk about future state goals, that's where things like security come up or some of the more advanced inventory management, because organizations look at that and go, hey, we've kind of been doing this manually for the last 10 years. Our future state goal is to have a more advanced or more efficient process around asset management or around security.
So Mike, you know, as we're talking, I'm thinking that a lot of our enterprise readers, you know, especially in the position they are as representatives, as managers in a very large company, they may feel that they have already resolved some of these matters. They've got a great carrier contract, a great contract with their carrier. So for those folks that feel that way, that have actually done that, you know, and have achieved what they think is a solid contract, is there anything for them to be alert to?
Yeah, Doug, that's a great question. And the answer is yes, absolutely. I'd say that there's quite a bit of misconception around carrier contracts, right? And so we go into, you know, these mid-market and enterprise organizations. And to your point, many times their procurement team has negotiated just an absolutely incredible contract. So, you know, when we hear that, we're like, yeah, you have, right? You have rates that are significantly lower than what they should be for a customer of your size, as a for example, or, you know, you negotiated specific plans that most organizations don't get access to, right? We call those sort of, in some cases, unpublished plans, right? Those that are, you know, sort of not obvious. But the challenge and the misconception is having that great contract doesn't equate to having that contract being managed against and being implemented on. And so one of the key and critical things is, and this isn't a bad thing, but the vendors in the space, the carriers, they don't give their customers a tool that says, okay, here's all of your contractual elements. Here's all of your plans that you've negotiated that are custom with your discounts and all these other things. Here is how those should be used for this bill cycle. And then here's how those plans that you negotiated and feature should be used for the next bill cycle. They're not provided that tool. So although a lot of these customers have these great contracts, the important part then is ensuring that that contract is managed against each and every bill cycle. So actually sort of, you know, taking the tools that they're given and using them. It's, you know, you're really sort of then, you know, you're squeezing the juice out of the orange, not just staring at the orange. That might be a silly analogy. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely one of the areas that we see a misconception in a way that we can help end users truly, I'd say, unlock and realize the benefits of the contracts that they've negotiated.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit further. And I want to sort of bring into our conversation 5G, which you mentioned earlier. And, you know, I think you said something to the effect that 5G is going to be much more disruptive than maybe a lot of people imagine.
Yeah, I don't even think we've begun to scratch the surface of the applications of 5G in the enterprise. You know, right now, a lot of the conversations around 5G are how it's going to, I would say, quote unquote, impact us with our devices, right? And it will. So, you know, now that the major OEMs have 5G capable devices, now that the carriers are building out their 5G network, the sort of end consumer, right, Doug, you and I with our smartphones, we're all going to have 5G devices, and we all are going to consume a lot more data with those devices. And yeah, there will be applications developed around that, and there will be disruption there. The other side, where I think that there is more disruption coming with 5G, are all of the business enablement devices, all of the sensors and IoT and machine-to-machine devices, and our ability to effectively connect almost anything, and connecting almost anything back to a network with high speed, low latency, et cetera. Those are the disruptions that I think we're going to see over the coming, honestly, I think, 5 to 10 years, where we're going to see businesses developing systems, applications, processes, whole new use cases for these 5G capable devices. And it's really going to be a fun and interesting time. And we're really just at the beginning of this. I mean, if you use the game analogy of a baseball game, I would say that we're just getting into the first inning of what 5G will do for businesses and how it will transform. But I think a lot of that transformation is going to be on what I'd call that business end, the IoT machine to machine, those types of devices is where we're going to see a significant amount of transformation.
Well, we've had a little bit of advice here that I think is good advice for the enterprise readers that we reach. What about the many channel readers, MSP readers, even carrier readers that we talk to that, are looking at this and they're looking at 5G and they're looking at mobility, some of the other topics we discussed as well, and are saying, maybe I need to get into this market?
Yeah, Doug, again, fantastic question. We really look at the managed mobility service segment as really sort of an, overlooked category, right? So, as a company that relies on channel, we do have partners of, different types of partners. So, we have a partner base that would fall more into that agent community, right? They might be out there predominantly selling UCaaS services like RingCentral or SD-WAN or MPLS. For that group and that audience, mobility is just an overlooked category. So for those type of partners to be able to operate as an agent of, and to be able to go into a customer and truly solve a business need or a challenge around the management of their corporate mobile environment, it enables them to create a new, let's just call it monthly recurring revenue stream from an overlooked category. That same also applies to your audience, Doug, that is that, VAR MSP. And in some cases, the services we provide might be a little bit more closely aligned. So, those partners might be out selling Cisco and NetApp and others. But in many cases, if they're operating as an MSP, they might even be providing help desk services. So it's a really easy bolt-on for them to go, well, not only should we provide the help desk, but let's funnel in the logistics. Let's funnel in the expense management and cost savings. Let's funnel in or better connect with the security. So, one of the things that we find for our distribution partners is it's a way for them to provide additional services, not only to the customers that they already have, but many of our partners, Doug, actually use us to acquire net new customers. So, it's a good way to open a door, since there are a lot of, challenges and pain points and a lot of organizations that are looking to sort of improve as their mobile environments are growing. For a lot of distribution partners that we have, it's a great way to open up that door, create that relationship for a mobility managed service, and then they can go in and say, hey, procurement team, look at the success that we had with this. Now let's have a conversation about SD-WAN. Let's have a conversation about UCaaS. We see it on both sides, but definitely an opportunity on the distribution side for sure.
And is it easy to get to basically start doing business with you as a partner?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little biased there, Doug. So I would say yes. We really have the ability to partners engage with us in a variety of different ways. I think one of the easiest ways for a new partner to sort of get to know us is we do work with and have access through distributors. So, most of our new partners coming in today will go to one of our distributors, which, we share on our website, et cetera. where they might already have a relationship. So that's kind of one of the funny things about distribution is, you know, a lot of folks that will come to us as a new partner, you know, through a 5-minute conversation go, oh, I already have access to you through one of my distribution partners already. I just didn't know that. But we also do, transparently, Doug, have some partners that will also want to have a direct relationship with us as well.
Well, Mike, I want to thank you for joining me today and giving us a big overview of what's happening in the mobility market. And I want to especially thank you for pointing out to many of our listeners and readers maybe common mistakes they've made and common assumptions. It was very interesting to hear about the contracts, about the disruptive nature of what's coming up with mobility. And also, it sounds like there's a big door open for a lot of people to take advantage of the incredible opportunities ahead in the mobility market. Where can we learn more?
Hey, Doug, probably the best way is, you know, honestly, through our website. So hop on our website. Obviously, I can share out my contact information, including my mobile phone. So either direct outreach to myself or through our website, where you can not only gain additional information, but, you know, use chat functionality, et cetera, and or even, you know, schedule a meeting to have a quick intro call.
Well, again, Mike, thank you very much indeed. I know we're going to be talking again soon. This is a very interesting topic, and I think mobility is our future, so I'm certainly looking forward to our next podcast. But for now, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me, Doug. Appreciated the time today.